thank goodness.
There we go.
I thought I was going to make a big mistake. Don't worry, I didn't.
Hello.
Oh, jeez.
Welcome to...
Suck Off.
You might be like, where's the crowd?
I have an apology, a public-facing apology to make.
I didn't mean to call it out
no,
first thing.
You should.
But if people are confused...
This is not the live episode. We are, in fact, recording this because we did a live episode, and it was my entire job. I'm actually very proud that the rest of the tech went very, very well.
Oh, my God. It was perfect. Yeah.
But my job was to do all the tech, and pressing one simple record button was my job. And I pressed it, but then I either, what's the opposite of insert? I was going to say excerpt, which
is not right. We were, on stage. In your defense, we were on stage when you realized this, and you were like, oh, shit, I got to go record. So you were in a rush.
I went and I hit the button. I think I hit record, but either, I took the card out too quickly or whatever when we were done recording. Mm. And so the file is less than a second long.
Yeah.
And it's pretty devastating.
Yeah, we could have uploaded that just to be assholes.
I did that for my other podcast once, and I didn't realize, I'd recorded, one second. And so it has the most listens of any other episode, because then, I re-uploaded the file, but, people clicking on it and, being like, does the episode not work?
That's amazing.
Yeah, so if you want to get good at podcasting, that's what you have to do.
Yeah, yeah. But if people are asking... Yeah, it was a great event.
It was so fucking fun.
It was a phenomenal event.
The pictures that Amy Doe took were amazing.
Yeah.
Emma Day was doing the PowerPoint for us, from the back. There was animations.
Right.
There was going to be a flip transition between slides. We had to cut that.
Yep. That was me. One random flip transition.
Because it broke my computer.
Yeah.
7,000 years old. It doesn't work unless it's plugged in.
Right. I was working that computer and I was like, this is sticky.
It's old. Can you turn that light off behind you?
I always forget to do this when I record a sponsor.
It was a blast.
It was a blast, truly.
And the watch party, I mean, we'll talk about this next episode, but the watch party was so fun.
Oh my God. So we're not used to this with the first episode of a season being too much to talk about, but there's too much to talk about.
Oh yeah.
But we'll get through this one.
We are
going to do this in the same way we did last night.
Great.
Yeah, I mean a little bit faster. Right. No misogyny.
Yeah, the audience decided to turn against Karsten.
Yep. And we'll see why with my notes that I wrote before the show.
Awesome.
That no
one... We had two people storm the stage actually. Yeah. Beckett Kenny and Dan Carroll each got on the stage.
Man storm stage at Pro Feminist Podcast. It was a great time.
Yeah, it was really fun.
Yeah. We'll start with
the high level overview of the episode.
Yeah. You're a pro at that one.
Yeah. The structure of the episode, basically of season 3, episode 9, All the Bells Say.
Yep.
Is that we start with the siblings having an intervention with Kendall. They think he's addicted to drugs and alcohol, and they also think he tried to kill himself.
Yeah.
And so they were like, that jumps the top of the list of things we're concerned about.
Mm-hmm.
The intervention doesn't go very well, and Connor is upset, and that is a disaster. I mean, again, we'll talk about all the granular details.
We're going to, we get into it.
But so after that, it's decided that, it's basically decided underground that Gojo is going to acquire Waystar. It's not going to be a merger of equals. It's not going to be Waystar buying Gojo. It's the other way around. Because Madsen's company is basically on a rocket ship upward.
Yeah.
Waystar has been hit with a historic DOJ fine, and so their stock is just plummeting. It's not good.
They're old. They're on their way out.
Their app takes 8 years to load.
Even with piss on it, you know.
So that's point two. Point three is that Kendall gives a really big reveal to his siblings.
Right.
Because he is just so emotionally broken, he can't do this anymore.
Yep.
Point four is the siblings try to stop Logan from being bought out by Gojo because it directly cuts off their line of succession. They can no longer take control of the company.
Yep.
It's out of family control, blah, blah, blah. So they say part of the divorce agreement between Caroline and Logan is that we get voting stock in who changes control of the CEO. So if they don't have a supermajority, i.e. our vote, they can't do it. They go... realize that Caroline has been told that, Logan has been told about the supermajority thing, has consulted Caroline and is giving her some sort of benefit in order to remove that from the divorce agreement.
Yep.
The kids are betrayed. They are broke, unemployed.
Yes.
And
we'll, And now we're in season four.
And now season four. That's what happened in the episode, in case you missed it.
Yes. And we were only doing like a rapid fire recap like that because we, for the live show, wanted to go through character by character. It's also such a, it is like a simple episode. So it's like, there's not that many scenes, but a lot happens.
Yeah.
And it's like worth just like looking at it. We do not have a con slide, but we'll talk about him anyway. That was a thing we realized during the live show. I did not make a Connor slide.
There was a bunch of shit we realized during the show.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll start with Kendall, though.
Great.
I was saying, we all thought he was dead. He's not dead. Right. Spoiler alert. He's yelling at his children. I mentioned that he has juice because he does show up with juice. And he's like trying to get back into it. He's like, I'm talking to new lawyers. Comfrey's the one who found him in the pool. And she's like, yeah, he's fine.
But he's clearly like pretty broken and hunched over when he comes.
He's
to,
not
like,
no.
Talk to the siblings. It's not well.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like he has so many rock bottoms in this show because you think it's like at the birthday party, and then you think it's the pool, and then this episode he hits another rock bottom.
You also thought rock bottom was season one, episode 10. Right. You know, like
he just keeps going lower.
There's even, once again, quoth Bojack Horseman, there's even rockier bottoms underneath.
Like, right.
Every time I think I hit a rock bottom.
Yeah. The breakfast intervention, which, yeah, rewatching it, I'm like, nothing is, the big takeaway from that really is Connor, I would say. Because it's like, Kendall's just in denial. Mm-hmm. He's got that big chain on. That's literally my only thing I know about that scene. It's like, Kendall's that big chain, which he has like throughout the season, I never realized, but.
It's just so prominent when he's not wearing anything else. Like, he's stripped down of all his riches except this random,
except for the chain,
really decadent gold chain.
In the interview, when he's talking about it, he's like, I wanted something colossal for Kendall, so I had them make this chain.
Great Jeremy Strong. I love Thank them. You. Like, I had them make this chain.
I know.
Who is it, Jeremy?
I think he was like, it's a designer in Japan. I went to Japan to get the chain. Wow. I'm like, he's too dedicated. But yeah.
What I also took away from the scene is that they try telling him, like, hey, we're concerned about you. And he says, are you not all concerned about yourselves?
Right, right.
Like, he just turns it back on them, which is just, like, kind of a classic thing that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And then, he says, you guys don't know what I've lost as the eldest son, blah, blah, blah. And then Connor has, like, I said this during the live show, too. I get so emotional when Connor has all of his emotional outbursts because nobody cares.
Yeah.
So that way, it's always played for comedy on Succession when he has an emotional outburst, but I take him seriously, and so I get sad.
Me too. It is one of those things. It's like not just the siblings, but like the audience of Succession. Like, no one seems to care. He's like such a laughingstock.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about him in season four so far. Mm-hmm. Doesn't seem like anything's going to change. It's just going to get crazier.
Awesome.
But yeah, I really wish someone would listen to this man.
Yeah.
But yeah. He'll be fine.
he just needs one really good therapist.
Yeah, yeah. They all do, really. he is, after that, I think he's just, like, decided he's done.
Kendall?
Kendall. Yeah. Like, he's kind of, like, out of it from at the wedding.
I remember what you put on the PowerPoint, because I'm not looking at it right now, but I remember you wrote, smoking a cig at wedding.
Yes, taking it east. Taking it east. Yeah, he's like just like sitting down somewhere, and then he gets dragged back into it. The business that you wanted me to explain it, but he got dragged back into it because of his connections to Stewie and Frank. And honestly, it's just like Shiv is like in a crisis basically about this Gojo thing, and she's like, Kendall,
because she and Roman spent the entire episode like hearing that maybe they're gonna sell, but like not really knowing. So
exactly.
Once they get all but confirmed, they ask Kendall like his opinion.
Yeah.
And she says to him, like, I wouldn't ask you if it wasn't important.
Exactly. And when they're all they come together, they're hanging out.
you run on the slide, then they're all hanging out.
And they're all hanging out.
Gabbing.
I had a weird beep in my, hope it doesn't show up in the recording. but he admits to killing the kid.
Yeah.
Is these waiters come out to like dump out trash, and he looks and he's like breaking down. And I love that Shiv is like, what, do you know something that we don't or something? Or like, have you talked to whoever?
She's always on the attack, and I understand why, like she's attacked her entire life. That's how she has to get through life, but
definitely
not what Kendall needs to hear in that moment. He doesn't need to hear about business. He does not need to hear about this fucking sale.
No.
he bears his heart out. My God, what acting. It's just...
it's amazing.
Unbelievably shot, unbelievably acted.
Yeah. I've learned so much. I brought this up in the show about how they shot that scene and that it was like... blistering hot that day. They were all miserable. Apparently Kieran Culkin went and like hid behind a tree because he was like didn't want to do the scene, and he was like just hoping they'd write him out, which is such a funny,
he's so
like,
real
classic. It's like Roman in real life. And that Sarah Snook kept getting like rocks in her eye and like couldn't get through the scene. It was just like, and looking back and I'm like, yeah, that's like the most important intense scene
in the entire show. Like, that is where this turns from like the siblings are against each other to the siblings have come together.
Right.
It is a major turning point for, I assume, the rest of the show. Again, I haven't seen season four, so I don't know.
Yeah.
But
it's yeah. Okay. We, yeah. I was going to say, it's also like crazy that now the siblings know this about Kendall.
Yeah.
And that's a thing we'll talk about in a little bit, but yeah.
He's handed very prejudicial information to an important enemy.
Yeah. Oh. Good line. Good line.
Yeah, it's a gift.
He puts his hand on the not driver's shoulder when they get in the car.
Yeah. So there's a kid whose obvious job is door opener. You know, like he's wearing the gloves, whatever. And Karsten was like, "Yeah, he puts his hand on the driver." You know, the kid. And I was like,
"Who's to say that kid didn't?"
That kid is not driving their car. They like the drivers in this show have to be at least 70 years old.
some Italian boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kendall does put his hand on his shoulder longingly.
Right.
This boy.
He is like, after this scene, just staring straight ahead into whatever they're going to. Because I will talk about Shiv decides, but he's like, just pass me the shotgun. It's a great line.
Yeah. They're like, oh, how do you feel about killing dad? He's like, pass me the shotgun. Oh, this is what we talked about in the show. Like, he's so rock bottom. He can't get any lower. He's like, I don't give a fuck. And then during the big betrayal scene, he's just standing there smiling. Like,
yeah.
What's going on, guys? He's like, I can't believe Logan did it again. And right. Now my siblings are
classic dad.
Right.
Classic dad. Yeah. So that's Kendall.
That's Kendall.
Should we do the best outfits? Or that's just a live show thing.
Yeah, live show thing. We did this best outfit.
You can't
thing.
Even see him in the. You know.
And then Karsten. So it was my idea on the slideshow to put like X's best outfit. And then Karsten was like, they're all wearing one outfit the entire episode.
It's the one episode where they have one outfit. It's just so funny to me. Logan starts with the goodbye Mog story that he's reading to Kendall's son,
Iverson.
I remember, during the finale party when they started reading that, because it's literally, it starts with Mog was dead tired. Her paws were dead tired. Her tail was, and you're like, holy shit, he died.
And she falls asleep forever, Mog.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And then Logan says, like, your dad was okay, which is so funny because, like, it's a double-edged line. It could mean your dad was okay. He got out of the pool.
Mm-hmm.
But also, it's not out of the realm of possibility that Logan would be like, your dad, when he was alive, he was aight.
He was okay. Yeah, decent man.
Your dad, he was okay. You know that, right?
To his own son.
You're right.
His own 40-year-old son.
Yeah, because Iverson is 70 years old now.
Since the last episode, 30 years. And I also said that it could be like, if we're not talking about Kendall, like just the idea of death being in Logan's like... vision, which I think is like even more true in the season four premiere.
Right. You said it like not knowing what happened in season four, episode one.
He's very reflective right now.
Yeah.
Like he's nearing the end, which I think is, it's kind of leads into his decision later in this episode to go with the sale.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's just ready to get out of it.
Cash out and fuck off.
Speaking of, yeah, they go see Mattson. That's like the first thing.
Roman and Logan do.
Yeah, Roman and Logan. And he kind of like has Roman tag along. Because
Roman is pals with Mattson and it could go badly. Like they could not jive Logan and Mattson.
Yeah, yeah.
But then they do, like almost instantly. So it's like Roman is completely extraneous in this situation. And not only is he extraneous, he's then actively like harmful because Logan is obviously considering selling.
Yeah.
But he can't say that in front of his own son.
Right.
Because then, like, you know, I mean, exactly what happens in the episode. He freaks out and then, like, Roman tries to stop it, you know?
Yeah.
But Logan then sends Roman off and is, like, willing to have a conversation with Mattson.
Mm-hmm.
And it's... But we didn't talk about the boat scene.
Well, there's the boat scene, when they're looking at Carrie and he's like, what a woman. And
God.
It's just disgusting.
Nasty.
It's nasty.
And then he's like, Roman, you're the sexual pervert sending your whole cock and balls to Jerry.
He's like, is it all screens with you? Or something like that.
Are you scared of pussy?
Yeah, yeah. We're not gonna go on that bit again.
Feminist king refuses to say pussy.
I can't say it.
I'm rewriting.
I wrote
history.
It in the slideshow, but I will not say it. Typing it out. It's all screens
hit,
with me.
You
yeah.
didn't even hit copy and paste.
No,
you typed it.
I typed it.
P-U-S-S-Y.
Capital P.
Wow. I capitalized the P in pussy.
Yeah. Yes. That's me.
Icon.
That's me. They show up. There's the talk of, okay. Yeah, there's the talk where Mattson's like, you guys know Mark Zuckerberg? And he goes on it. You explain it way better than I do.
Yeah. They're talking about an anecdote of Mark Zuckerberg at a party saying that in ancient Rome, they had an idea to dress all of the slaves up in the same uniforms. They
yep.
could be easily identified, but they decided against it, the kings in ancient Rome, mm-hmm. because then the slaves would realize how many slaves there were and revolt and kill their
right.
masters. To which they're like,
we don't like Mark. So the thing I was going to say, and I was dicey on saying it during the live show, because I was like, I'm like, why did they say this? And I think it kind of mirrors what happens in the end of the episode of like all the siblings coming together, realizing
oh, yeah.
their thing against their father and rising up against him.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, I don't want to compare the Roy children to slaves.
To ancient Roman slaves.
But you could say like Logan is the master in the situation
yeah.
and has the power over them and they're...
Totally see the thematic connection.
I think that is what the point of that is.
He has thrived on dividing and conquering, right?
Right, right.
I don't understand, because, like, obviously, Mattson is not speaking about the thematic connection of the entire episode. So
yeah.
It always did confuse me what he's literally saying in the moment.
I have no idea. Yeah.
Like, I know that the SEC, this is something that Jerry points out a lot, like, the SEC would not approve of, like, a merger between companies this big because,
mm-hmm.
like, their only job, it's not their only job, but one of their main jobs is to stop mergers that are too vertical.
Yeah.
I.e. somebody controlling way too many parts of, like, let's say a supply chain.
Right.
So maybe it had something to do with that, but I actually have no idea. Like,
yeah.
I'm so...
It's a very weird thing to say.
I'm incredibly sleep deprived and I do not have the analytical capacity to like...
I mean, we got it down. Like, we'll be fine.
Great.
But, that's basically it with the Roman and Logan scene. It's like,
yeah.
Mattson's like, Roman can be the face of the company.
Mm-hmm.
It just looks nice for Roman, even if that's not entirely what's going to happen. It looks okay.
You selected a photo of Kieran Culkin that you thought was a hot photo.
Well, every other photo of him is like, it's like this stupid smirk. And then this one, you like look kind of like...
Devious?
Yeah.
I do the Austin Powers thing.
Yeah. I thought he looked okay. Yeah. Logan's maybe working on his gloop to make a kid with Carrie.
I forgot we were still talking about Logan and not Roman.
No, yeah, we're almost done with Logan here.
Yeah, Logan is working on his gloop. He's eating maca root, drinking smoothies that Carrie's feeding to him.
Yeah, yeah.
What a fucking plot thread that they've introduced. I hope this is one that they forget about.
I mean, judging by this next season, I don't think it's going away.
I know.
They're leaning into it. And then there's the final scene, which is just one of the few times, and you might disagree with me, one of the few times where Logan looks cool in that final scene.
Oh, 1,000,000%. I don't think it's one of the few times.
Right.
But he looks badass.
Right.
He's wearing this, like, what you described as, like, this sexy button
out. Yeah, his button down.
Like,
you went on this whole analytical thing, and then I was like, he's got a button down. That's all I had to offer.
Because it's just like, it's so theatrical, the scene. Like,
yeah.
It's not one take. It's like, it's just like one long scene, I guess is what I was
yeah.
trying to say. And he monologues in it, and he's like, I have you beat.
Right.
Ugh.
Well, everything about it, but like, having the button down, it's like, he's kind of like in a state of like acceptance, and mm-hmm. like, he's got his shit figured out. He's going to coast. And it's like the kids come in and they're like, but what about us? And it's like so satisfying to see this man be like, make your own fucking pile.
Yeah, like get your own goddamn job.
Yeah.
I want to cash out and fuck off and add another $5 billion to my pile of billions
yeah.
already.
And that's why it makes more sense the more I think about it when Roman's like, from a place of love. And he's like, you come to me with love? After they tried to like, ruin this man's plan, like, yeah, sure, you love me,
mm-hmm.
but like, look at what you're trying to do to me.
Mm-hmm.
Kill dad? Are you kidding me?
Right. Ugh.
With love? Yeah.
It's so good.
It's amazing.
Yeah, like, truly, it's not that I'm Team Logan necessarily, but Because Logan did ice his children out of this plan.
Right,
like,
right.
Obviously, it's going to destabilize their future in a way that is whatever. But also, none of them have ever... Well, Shiv kind of did and then got sucked into the world of Waystar. You know, they've always worked at the family company and just coasted on the money that Logan has given them.
Yeah.
And so it's, I guess, not like... you could take one side or the other in terms of like ethics or morals because everybody's always in the wrong all the time.
Yep.
But emotionally, it's very easy to understand and sympathize with Logan in the moment.
Yep. Absolutely. Roman. We should talk about it. He's kind of starts off rocky given what happened the previous episode where he's so like good. Not really sure if Logan wants him on the call or to go meet with Mattson. It's like...
He and Jerry are still just, like, chatting.
Yeah. Well, he's like... Well, at the beginning, Logan's like, Jerry! And he, like, yells at her. And Roman's like, go take care of that, pal. I like that he says pal to, like, really make, like, a friend line.
And then when they're talking about, like, who's going to go with to, like, see Mattson, Roman's like, I can go. And then Logan's like, sit here and play with your dick. And everyone just kind of stands there like...
Yeah.
Okay, well then who's going? And he's like, ah, I'm just... And then when Shiv says, I'll go, he's like, nah, just kidding. Come on, Roman.
I think he just... Even after last episode, he still just keeps embarrassing himself too and like proves himself. Like I brought up the... When they meet with Mattson and Mattson's like, he's a dinosaur. He's old. And he was like, you should see the one he's fucking. Like, see the age. And I'm like... And Logan has this look of like, can you shut the fuck up right now?
Don't
like,
tell Mattson I'm fucking somebody 30 years my junior.
Yeah, not now. Not that Mattson cares, but like... Yeah.
Still, when you're trying to conduct a business thing, like there's some level of decorum. I'm sure Logan, an old school man, like knows when and when not to have decorum.
Exactly. But that's, I mean, everything we talked about with Logan, you can kind of, Roman was there, so there's not much to say, but he's worried about the prenup and the goat. He seems to be the only one concerned about the prenup and their mom.
Right.
Rightfully so, clearly. but yeah, he's comforting Ken during the killing thing.
And he spends most of the episode getting iced out by Logan, obviously. Yeah. So Shiv keeps asking him what's going on, and he keeps trying to act like he's inside of it, but he's not.
Yeah,
and at that point, it would have been incredibly beneficial to make an ally out of Shiv and say, I don't know what's going on, and I think it's this. But then, instead, he tries to lie and, like, preserve, and like you know, puff up his own feathers and act like he's on the inside, but he's not.
Yeah.
Manifesting, but it did not come true.
Yeah. That's why I'm telling you, we know who our loser is, and we pretty much agree, right, on the loser?
Yeah, we did.
I don't know. When Ken is, there's the gin and tonic line, which is legendary.
I waited 3/4 of an hour for a gin and tonic. Who's the real victim here?
I love, in the season 4, they're playing, like, the greatest hits, all the things you need to, like, catch up, and they play that line. I'm like, that wasn't necessary, but it was the best line.
It was very iconic. And Roman, this is what we talked about in the live show, too. I really appreciate that Roman cannot engage sincerely with Kendall. Like, his way of engaging is through jokes and through comedy.
Yeah.
And ordinarily.
Which is valid.
Right.
Valid.
Ordinarily, for me, I find that off-putting. I'm like, can you please have a fucking conversation with me? But watching it in this scene, I'm like, I can see it now.
That's
I can
who
appreciate
he is.
It.
Yeah. He's kind of the... When it gets into, like, his character and what this whole thing has been building up to is, like, when they decide to go confront Logan and given, like, the who knows what's going to happen to him with this sale and his place with his dad and his inability to, like, speak up to his dad the whole show, it's like this really freaks him out, doesn't really want to do this, would rather speak to his dad alone, but the siblings do convince him.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of folds. A little bit.
Because he is convinced by his siblings that, like, that he can't trust Logan.
Uh-huh.
And it's not a not compelling pitch, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you could have a cushy COO job under Mattson.
Right.
He could find your work satisfying, or he could not, and you could be, like, left alone on the street with nobody. And you've alienated your siblings, too.
Right.
So it's either, like, go with us now and, like, we're going to be united on this, or fuck off.
Right. He goes and runs to Jerry when he finds the news.
Yeah.
And he's like... can you do anything? And she's like, how does this serve her interests? Or
he's
my
on all
interests?
Fours like a dog.
You brought this up, which, you know what? I gave you shit. I was like, that's not hot, but I'm like, they probably did that intentionally.
Right.
Like, there's something about it.
It wasn't
kind
to be hot,
of,
but like, it was certainly intentional.
Yeah. Yeah. And she can't really do anything. There's like kind of like, that's like a little parting ways with Jerry and Roman, honestly. And
no, they'll come back from this. I believe in them.
I don't even know. I mean, Jerry, we'll talk about season four. We'll talk about save next episode, it. Yeah. But yeah, it's sad. It's sad.
I believe in them. I believe they'll come back.
You believe in love?
Yes.
Shiv. Let's talk about Siobhan Roy.
So during the live show, we got maybe like 2 points into Shiv, and then we realized that we didn't make a Connor slide.
Yep, yep.
And then Carson was like, well, we should talk about Connor. And then I said the line that really turned everyone against Carson. I was like, yeah, let's talk about a man during the only woman slide. And then there was an incredible face turn.
And then you turned it into Willa, because Willa's the real girl boss here.
Right.
But we'll talk about Con and Willa. We'll save it to the end. I'm not going to make the same mistake. Right. But yeah.
It was funny.
It was funny. She's cheating in Monopoly. She's stealing from Tom.
That's right.
I really want to say there's some deep... What?
I was thinking about... I know we can't recreate the exact moment, but the devastating reveal that you play one-on-one Monopoly...
I was just, no, so I just was excited to open up the Monopoly succession. And I was like, let's do one-on-one Monopoly. Let's get it.
And then you're like, I'm the banker. It's just so funny.
I was the banker. I wanted to say there was some deeper, like, metaphor or, like, parallel with their Monopoly game at the beginning to what happens in the episode. But I, similar to you, just don't have the energy to analyze it. / I don't know if it's that deep. I think they're just playing Monopoly.
I think it like reveals things about their characters. You know, like they're willing to cheat at Monopoly. This is their opinion of Monopoly.
Her stealing from her husband.
Right.
It's just all makes sense.
Just like these little, like, you remember a couple episodes, the rabbit thing at the beginning of the episode?
Yeah.
That was like sort of the small kernel that was a thematic introduction of sickness
exactly.
through the episode.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Much of the same way her like continuously taking from Dom.
Right.
Is the like small thematic nugget that like comes back to bite her.
Yeah.
Like she's always taking from him. She is not ever giving.
Absolutely. Even in Monopoly.
Even in Monopoly.
She's trying to lead in the conversation with Kendall, failing. Her wedding speech. We talked about how they should not be speaking at each other's weddings anymore.
Why are Caroline and Shiv?
Yeah.
Like, you know, from a rich person politic perspective, if you are a mother, your daughter needs to speak at your wedding and
right.
vice versa. But Jesus Christ, they hate each other so much.
What I do want to see is a Caroline speech at Connor's wedding.
Yeah.
Who is speaking at that wedding is my question.
Probably Gil.
No.
I'm kidding.
Maxim.
Maxim is definitely speaking
at the Connor wedding. So there's that. She's like, I hope you have just as fulfilling of a marriage as I do. And Tom's like, what?
Tom's just sitting there like smiling politely.
Yeah,
but
staring into the distance.
Dissociating.
Yeah.
He's gone full Willa.
Right. We talked about how I said she's not really there for Kendall in that scene, but that at the end of the day, she is like, I don't know, they're making business right now.
Right.
And she is there.
She's the one who, like, she's there for him in the way of someone needs to focus on our future.
Yeah.
I cannot focus on this. I have to focus on 10 minutes from now.
Right, right.
And, you know, she kind of assigns Roman to the task because engaging emotionally with her brothers has never worked out for her. She's always been called too emotional or this or that. So it's understandable that she doesn't really want to be part of that.
No.
And it's just sad.
Yeah. It's sad.
She feels a call from Laird.
Right.
In the middle of, like, her brother's confession of killing someone at her wedding. She goes, and this is also, I'm sorry, this is me throwing you under the bus, too. Because she says, man, you fucked my wedding in so many ways. And I said she was trying to make a joke, and you were like, it wasn't very funny. And then I was like, Carson doesn't find women funny.
Yeah, because I was like, well, when Roman does it, it's funny. But when she does it, she's not very funny.
And the people, like, laughed before I even said it.
Yeah,
so, like, everyone had already decided.
Everyone, we all knew. We all knew. And I love, we had all this, and then I go to the Greg slide, and it starts with drowning in it.
Man, it was really
good.
Fun.
It was perfect.
Us explaining jokes, like, on the podcast, everyone's going to be like, I don't think this is funny. I promise you it was really funny at the time.
Yeah. What Shiv's biggest mistake is that she calls Tom on the way to the thing.
Yes.
And we talked about how it's not Shiv's fault, but
she's the reason that the betrayal
She's the
happens.
Reason it happened, yeah.
Because she psychically in her mind believes that Tom is an airtight, trustworthy, like a comrade.
Yeah.
I couldn't think of the word for it. I almost said adversary, which is not the word. It's the exact opposite of what I was looking for. Anyways, she believes that Tom is airtight and he can like be part of executing this deal. I forget his, his role in it is ATN. Mm-hmm. She's like, you need to put out this like big press release in ATN that Logan's sick and like, that's how we can edge him out and blah, blah, blah. And so, excuse me, I'm just burping. I ate a really good breakfast this morning that I made for myself.
Yeah.
Shit ton of broccoli.
There we go.
And then I had these biscuits and like vegan sausages and eggs and I just like made a sandwich.
Oh man, that's a good breakfast.
It fucked. And when you eat a couple of vegetables before you eat like kind of a, you know, because the rest of that was really like oily.
Oily, yeah.
If you eat a couple of vegetables first, your blood sugar doesn't spike. It's like a scientific thing. And then you don't feel as like sluggish and.
Oh, that's good to know.
I know.
Damn.
I learned that from like a podcast.
Yeah.
And then I tried it for myself, you know, because you can believe people all you want or whatever. But trying it for myself, I'm like, oh, it makes a substantial difference eating vegetables before a meal.
Does it work with fruit?
Probably. I don't think so, because fruit's all sugary and stuff. Don't quote me on that.
Okay.
But the whole thing was like...
this, I love apples, but...
this non-diabetic woman was like wearing a blood sugar monitor and then like, you know, studying when she ate certain things and whatever. So that's what she found. So I have to imagine if it's fruit, that would probably spike your sugar because fruit is so sugary.
Yeah. But oh, yeah, you're right.
I don't know. I'm not a scientist.
Neither am I. That's Shiv, I guess. There's the betrayal at the end where she kind of realizes it's Tom. We'll talk about Tom in a second.
Oh, God.
It's
Sarah's acting in that final scene.
Oh, it's so good.
Having to keep a lid on her emotions all season, all succession.
Yeah.
And just seeing like the cracks just a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and there's a scene next episode that's even better than this. Like, honestly, blows this one out of the water.
The floodgates have opened with these characters' emotions, really.
Yeah.
I specifically, Shiv, I think, is like...
it's so refreshing.
Going through it, finally. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Logan.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful way to start this season.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about it. Greg.
Greg.
He's drowning in it.
And what's it?
I this happened in the last show. I couldn't find a different word.
He goes, love. Yeah.
Love.
Love.
Love. You come to me with love.
I don't know, fucking love.
He's hitting on the Italian Contessa.
In this like weird 80s sitcom, like two dates to the wedding, except they both know and he's sitting right between them.
Yeah.
And he's having a conversation. It's amazing. Like, Willa is sobbing at the wedding. And they're all three of them are like, damn, what's her problem? And the contestant's like, I love weddings. And Greg's like, yeah, so beautiful. And then Comfrey's like, I fucking hate this. What a poser. And he's like, yeah, fuck weddings. Fuck the patriarchy.
Makes me want to gouge my eyes out.
Yeah.
But that's basically everything with Greg at that point. But then... he goes up to Tom and he's like, she is in like bragging about the contestant and whatever.
Her like 8 bajillion political European connections that make no sense.
I love it. Tom's just like, what?
Yeah.
And he asks him if he wants to deal with the devil, that there's going to be major shifts in Waystar and if he wants to come along for the ride.
Yeah.
Sporus, he calls him Sporus.
Which, this is what we talked about too.
Please.
When I was first watching, and I assume when you were too, because we were together and we were watching it at first. When he says that line, like, do you want to deal with the devil? Major shifts are happening. You assume it's because he just had this conversation with Shiv and they're going to go nuke Logan.
Yeah.
But calling Greg Sporus in that moment is the exact foreshadowing of Tom going to betray Shiv, because that's exactly what happens in the Nero and Sporus story.
Yep.
They push Papia down the stairs. So... oh,
he's
God.
Like, do you want to come push my wife down the stairs?
Yeah. It's just brilliant writing.
Yep. It's amazing.
How is it even more satisfying on rewatch? It's crazy.
Every time. Yeah.
It hits.
It was more satisfying. Yeah. That's crazy. The random detail was that Jerry tells them that she heard from Greg via the lackey Slack that things are moving quickly on the Gojo deal.
Yeah, so like the detail being that like in season, I want to say like 1, episode 4.
Yep.
Greg tells Jerry something about like Tom wanting to have a press conference about cruises, and then it's assumed that Shiv is the one that told Jerry.
Yep.
What, however the hell that goes out.
Right,
but it's revealed
that
it was Greg that told Jerry.
Yep.
Because she says, good move, kid. And so it's funny that they've like continued to talk in the background and like he came to her with the thing from the lackey slack that like the Gojo deal is going in certain directions, and
it's crazy.
As a fun detail. And then Beckett Kenny. Fun Chicago comic. He's so funny. He did I can't remember if it was like a backflip or a cartwheel on stage once. It was just like so funny. Anyways, he was like, wait, no, it wasn't Shiv that said that thing to Jerry. And it's like, well, that's what they wanted you to think in the episode. But then it's revealed at the very end that it was Greg.
Yep.
So that was fun. Anyways, that was the second man that stormed the stage.
Right. Tom. I feel like we could talk about Tom. This is his episode.
Yeah.
I started off with he plays as the dog in Monopoly.
Yeah!
What's funny is that when I wrote that in the slideshow, I didn't think it was that funny. I was just like, this is a note that I had. And then when it showed up on the screen and that was all that was on the screen, it was fucking hilarious.
People went crazy for it.
I see. It's like on people's Instagram stories.
Yeah.
I was like, all right.
Three different Instagram stories.
Yeah, I was like, that was funny. All right.
Because we had to like sit there for like 30 seconds while people were laughing. Tom plays as the dog in Monopoly.
Because I had a point to it that was, I'm comparing that to his connection to Mondale in the cage.
Yeah.
And that's it. That was all the point was, that like Tom is a dog. Which he kind of is, you know, he's been trapped.
Yeah, because a few episodes ago, right, that's when he was talking to Mondale.
Yeah, drunk with a scotch. Mm-hmm. And he's like, Mondale, buddy. And Mondale comes back. Spoiler alert.
I can't even believe it.
I can't believe he's
back.
It was
so funny how many things we said that like kind of came true. It was so fun.
I know. It's so funny. Yeah, we talked about this. And then during the watch party, Mondale shows up and the crowd went wild.
Nuts.
Erupted. They're like, yeah. And Mondale barking.
And it was spelled Mondale in the captions.
Yeah. He gets the call from Shiv, goes to Greg. He's like, deal, you could see the gears turning. Mm. He's like, we were saying, like, even it being his episode, he's mostly uninvolved. Like, he's kind of just lurking in the shadows.
Because mm-hmm. most of the episode, he's like full dissociating. Like, man, his relationship with Shiv is just like at its
horrible.
End. Especially after the whole baby popsicle conversation last episode. And
yeah.
I don't really love you, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Oof. So he like you said, lurking in the shadows until his big reveal.
Yep.
Oh, God. And then circling back to Shiv, has to keep a lid on all of her emotions and then continuously be comforted by one of the men that is like making her life substantially worse.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's bad.
It's so bad. A woman's rage is so potent. I said that to him after Christ and went, yeah.
No, I said amen.
Oh, yeah, that's what he said.
Because I'm an ally.
Feminist icon.
Feminist icon. I want to briefly, real quick, talk about the shoulders on the hands thing. Mm. This whole thing is what I've said.
Do you do Connor and Willa first? Because we haven't talked
Let's
about
Let's do
them.
Connor and Willa. The Connor and Willa situation is that they've been proposed to. Like, that whole thing happened last episode. But she's still thinking it over.
Yeah.
Connor had the eldest son thing. And mm-hmm. this is, like, right after that eldest son thing. He's kind of like, this sucks. Everything sucks. And I like that Willa's like, you're a really nice man.
Yeah.
And he's like, thank you. Yeah. He's like, that means nothing to me.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, and you know what? Fuck it. Fuck it.
Yeah.
And he's like, you mean like, fuck it? And she's like, fuck it. Fuck it forever.
Yeah.
They get in the car and they drive off.
Yeah.
And you had a good thing about Willa that I wanted you to repeat.
Yeah. The way that people talk about her online, I feel, mm-hmm. it's one of two significant poles.
Yeah.
Either she's like this victim of abuse who has no control over her situation, no autonomy, just like pulled into this for forever. Or she's like this manipulative, cunning woman who's in charge of her own body and her
right.
own choices. And it's just so reductive to not think that there's like a cool middle that like Willa absolutely occupies.
Mm-hmm.
She is making her own moves. She's using her own body and relationship with Connor to advance her career,
right.
to have a comfortable life. But also, if she were to ever say no at this point,
yep.
there could be potentially devastating consequences. And, you know, that does mean you have to, like, spend your life chained to a man that you didn't organically meet.
Yeah.
And, like, you kind of have to be nice to a lot.
Right.
So, you know, she doesn't have as much power as the Roys because she doesn't have $1 billion to start off with.
Yeah.
But, like, she can still have her own power in her own ways and also be robbed of that power.
Yep.
So
yep.
it's just, like, so fun to watch. And she's also the most normal on the show.
Right.
Because she'll walk into a venue and be like, this is nice.
Yeah.
I like the wine.
She just likes experiential theater or
immersive
yeah,
theater.
Immersive
yeah.
theaters. I don't like experiential.
But yeah, she's just like such a fascinating character that I love. Every time she's on screen, she has something funny to say.
Yeah.
And
she's got a new hair color every season.
Blonder and blonder.
Blonder and blonder.
Which is just like fitting more into like what would be an ideal presidential candidate's wife, you know?
Yeah,
like, she looks
yeah.
like that, and she's becoming more like that. And
right.
she's also, like, losing herself in the Roys, and
mm-hmm.
the fame and fortune, and whatever.
Yeah.
So.
It's been more, she is a more interesting, I mean, I like Greg a lot, but, like, she seems like he came in already sort of a Roy.
Yeah.
And she is, like, just kind of got sucked into this thing.
She's becoming one every single day.
Yeah. It's crazy.
It is so, like, she is honestly, okay, I know I say this a lot, but I think Willa might be one of my favorite characters.
That's a valid favorite character to like, have.
She's fun to think about. She's fun to talk about. Mm-hmm. She's hilarious on screen.
Yeah.
Like, never a dull moment with that woman. I'm never bored during a Willa scene.
Exactly.
Because there's, you know, everyone is in the show so much. So, yeah. Like, by definition, they're going to have a boring scene or two.
Right.
Never with Willa.
Never with Willa. Yeah. Should we talk about the shoulder thing?
Yeah.
There's not much to say here. There kind of is. It's like a very clearly mirrored moment where when Kendall first admits to it, and he breaks down crying, Roman comes up behind him, puts his hands on his shoulders. It's an iconic shot. And then later in the episode, when Roman gets betrayed by his dad after he betrays his dad, Kendall comes over and puts his hands on his shoulder. Mm. I'm looking at the images together and it's like the exact same framing. It's kind of insane.
Right. And Shiv has walked away in both.
Yes. Yes, yeah. Actually, Shiv is, like, in the same sort of position in both of them. It's weird. But mm-hmm. she doesn't have... Yeah. And then, in the end, Tom comes up and puts his hands on Shiv's shoulders. Mm. It's just a lot of hands on shoulders. You brought up in the season 2 finale, the hands on the shoulders.
Yeah. Like, the way that the blocking had worked, to signify a betrayal,
yes.
This is how it went.
Yeah.
Is that in season 2, episode 10, Shiv, like, sort of convinced Logan, don't yep. send Tom to prison, sacrifice Kendall instead.
Right.
So she betrays Kendall.
Yes.
And then she walks into the room, pats Tom on the shoulder, and then goes over to Ken to say, I've betrayed you, basically. But
right.
You know, obviously it's not how...
Yeah.
So then in this episode, Tom is entering and Logan puts his hand on Tom's shoulder uh-huh. and is like, you know, see you later, kid. And then Tom comes in and that's how Shiv realizes that she's been betrayed. So it's just like
yep.
a fun...
Right.
It's everything is fun.
Everything's fun. And then there's some Born on the Floor episode when everyone's kind of going around being honest with Logan. Logan puts his hands on Kendall's shoulders. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, it's just a very clear motif in the show. They bring it up a lot. It's always very intentional and really like striking image every
charged
time.
Too.
Yeah. And my analysis was that it's like, it represents both like security, but also like power that like, you can feel secure with me, but I also have power over you because of that, which is like kind of what a family is sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Because in that first shot with Roman over Kendall, Roman can use this information to do anything.
Exactly.
Like he could fuck over Kendall tomorrow.
Yeah.
In this reverse with Kendall over Roman, it's like, Roman, you just lost your job, buddy. And like, I'm already at rock bottom. Yep. I have nowhere.
You're stuck with Kendall.
Yeah, you're stuck with Kendall.
Which is like, so what happens in season 4 so mm-hmm. far. Is like, it kind of, that's what happens is Roman can't really make his own decisions. He's stuck with the siblings and has nowhere else to go. So,
yeah.
And then with Shiv and Tom, it's like, that one's a bit watery because it's more like...
Well, now she's trapped in a marriage. I mean, and nobody's ever trapped because women have credit cards now. Right. But
yeah, there's nothing funny about that. I don't know why I laughed. There's nothing funny about that. Yeah, you're right. Women do have credit cards. Sorry.
Feminist king. Anyways, like she's at the moment trapped in this marriage with this man who has betrayed her and fucked her over.
Yep.
Like now, where does she have to go? But
right.
like into Tom's arms.
Exactly.
Because now Tom has like this, you know, connection to Logan that she will never have again.
Right.
Oof.
Yeah.
And she's,
I didn't
like,
realize that.
Him,
she's like,
yeah.
Logan does not fuck with Shiv.
No.
She really doesn't fuck with Kendall, but that ship has sailed.
Yeah. Starting minute 1 this episode where Shiv's like, I'll go with you to do this deal.
Yeah.
He's like, no, I'd rather have the guy who sent his whole cock and balls to Jerry.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's so true. Yeah.
So,
oh man. Which really speaks to Logan's misogyny too, that it's like, if Shiv were to do that, he would never talk to her again.
Yeah.
But then Will like take her hand when he's unconscious and like, you know, season 2 or 1, episode 3, whatever.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, use her in all of these like token woman
mm-hmm.
shots or like, you
yeah.
know, I'm connected to my family. Like my daughter gives me a hug.
Yep.
And then
yep.
when she doesn't, he lashes out at her. So.
Exactly. Loose ends. We said Connor and Willa.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever happens there, Carrie and Logan having a baby,
yep.
and then the podcast, the serial podcast that they brought up, which you thought meant this podcast.
Yeah, I totally thought you meant this podcast.
Because all I wrote was the podcast. The podcast.
But this, yeah, the reason why we considered that podcast from an episode ago, Comfrey tells Kendall that there's going to be a podcast that comes out, like a really, like, investigative podcast into all the Roy's wrongdoings,
mm-hmm.
it could potentially, true crime podcasts are pretty powerful and could have like an actual impact on
yeah.
the Roy's.
Yeah.
So, like, it could flip the conversation, which they're so used to controlling.
Right, right. So, who's to say?
Who's to say?
Winner, we...
Yeah, we... I thought you and I were agreed on this, and then we went, yeah, okay, everyone in the audience, say it. One, two, three, and then everyone went, Tom.
It's not Tom.
It's Logan.
Yeah, Logan, it's Logan. Wins. I want to think... I mean, I'm not... I can't say this now that we've seen season 4, episode 1, but I was talking to someone that was like, I don't know why everyone thought their prediction was like, Tom's going to take over the company. Like, his rise, it's going to happen. I'm like, did we not immediately forget about season 3 from the season 2 finale? How Kendall went from, like, the high to, like, crashing? And not to say that Tom is crashing, but Tom is not the guy we all think he is.
Like, yeah, like, just because you've handed good information over to Logan doesn't mean you're going to become the new fucking CEO.
Exactly.
Like, it doesn't mean that much. It just means he's forever in Logan's good graces, but
right.
so were a lot of people.
Yeah.
So was Frank, so was Carl, so was Jerry, and they've all been fired and rehired 8,000 times.
Yeah. So it's Logan.
It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. Logan gets what he wants at the end of this. He, mm-hmm. like, everything is working for him. He wins. He literally says he wins.
Yeah.
And
he went, you know, from an episode ago of, like, this proposed merger of equals, we don't really know what's going on, and Roman is, like, revealed himself to be, in Logan's eyes, like, a sexual pest.
Yep.
So now, like, that's a pretty lowish place to start, and, you know, now you're at your ex-wife's wedding, and mm-hmm. you don't want to be there. Going from that to, I have a retirement plan and a successor who I value and yes. think is pretty smart and,
right.
like, could bring a lot of value to me, that's a pretty good place to end on.
Yeah.
And... Yeah. I have foiled a plan to make me lose that, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Loser?
We said Roman, right?
Yeah, it's got to be Roman. It's right. probably Roman. This... Everybody said Shiv.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I can... Shiv doesn't have a great episode either. But no. Roman went from something to absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm. And Shiv went from someone in a horrible failed marriage to somebody in a horrible failed marriage.
Yeah.
That has less of a job.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I mean, Roman, he lost Jerry, he lost his dad, it's yeah. like, he is at rock bottom.
He lost way more.
Yeah.
He's quite literally on the floor.
He's on the floor at the end of this episode,
which
yeah.
Which is quite literally early in the episode signified to be at rock bottom.
Yeah.
So.
He's yeah. in tough shape.
Yeah.
And then lastly, predictions real quick, not that it matters because we're about to record what we know happened, but.
What do we predict? You predicted Logan's going to croak.
I said Logan's going to croak. I think that's that's likely.
I predicted canon homosexual interaction in season 4. Now, I don't care if it's referenced. It doesn't have to happen on screen, which it actually has already happened.
Yes. Yes. We're going to talk about it. And there's another one that did happen that I actually won't say because we'll just get into it in season 4.
I can't even remember, so I'm excited.
It's like one of the most obvious ones. Everyone knew it was coming, but it happens episode 1.
Great.
That's it. Actually, my other one that didn't get added to the slideshow in time, I was doing it in the green room while people were seating, was Greg gets laid. And then in like a sub bullet said with Tom, and that was how we were going to end. But Greg does get laid.
Wow.
Anyway, yeah. That's the season finale for season 3.
Great.
We'll get out of here and just start this next one. So yeah. Thanks for listening. And as always,
suck off.